Welcome, everyone, to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. Today, we've got a super interesting conversation with Carmen Perez-Seda. And Carmen, you're not only the director of talent for One Workplace, but you've actually launched some pretty interesting programs. You've taken, I think, the job title and role of HR and talent and gone in a very unique way. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about here today is what are the unique ways that we can impact culture and employee retention, engagement, and overall success of the business, and be thinking outside of the box, right? What are the non-traditional ways that we can be doing that as HR talent professionals? One of the things that's interesting that you and I just talked about, and I thought was fantastic, is that beyond your focus in your career, you've actually been a yoga practitioner and instructor for a number of years. And I'm going to have you talk a little bit about that because it impacts what you do at home and at work. And I think that just rounds out your background. So before we get started, let's hear a little bit more from Carmen about you and your experience.
Yeah, well, thank you, Steve. Like you said, I'm the director of talent for One Workplace. I lead the talent management function, acquisition, learning and development, and engagement. And then I've also been a yoga practitioner for over 20 years and an instructor for about 7 now. Part of my yoga training is in trauma-informed practices. So learning about the nervous system and its function, nervous system health, and how that impacts our behavior and our well-being in everyday life. And that informs the way that I work, but also the way that I parent.
I could imagine being a parent myself, there's enough learning for the whole world right there. So here's what I want to do. You pioneered a very interesting program, an ERG program, that really had a large impact on the company. Maybe just tell us the story of what you did and why that means so much to you, but to the company as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's helpful to understand the origins of my journey into parenthood because I was a co-founder of the Working Parents ERG at our organization. And my daughter was born in the early pandemic days. We're talking like 2 weeks into lockdown. So at a time when you have a newborn and you normally have a large system of care surrounding you, friends, family, there to support you as you start your parenthood journey, we were in quarantine. So the first 8 weeks of our daughter's life, it was just my husband and I. So we had to figure out how to be parents very quickly on our own in isolation. And so during that time, we quickly realized how valuable it is to have a network of care around you, whether that's people in your family or your close circle or an expanded network of actual child care. And so shortly after that, when I returned to work from my maternity leave, it was evident that many parents were experiencing a similar sense of isolation, not just parents of newborns and babies like me, but parents of school children who now had kids inside the home doing remote school. And that was the first time they'd experienced it. So they're working and they're playing teacher at the same time. So our Working Parents ERG was born out of this need to build some community and just have a space to commiserate about what are we doing in this unprecedented time to parent and work and take care of ourselves all at once.
And what did it mean for the parents that you created this group for? But how did that have a halo effect on the rest of the employees and the company?
Yeah, it started out purely as a place to connect and just have some virtual community in the absence of our actual community because we were all in lockdown. And as we discussed our daily challenges, it became clear that we had some unmet needs that we felt could be addressed by the organization at some point. And so what became more of a community building effort and connection effort turned into an effort to influence company best practices and policies. Out of that came our child care stipend program that we launched in 2023.
Tell me a little bit about what the perception was like internally of this program, transitioning it from a kind of an online community where we can get together, there's a lot of tools to do that, but actually a formalized program and And why did leadership want to buy into this?
We're fortunate that we were not the only employee resource group being formed at that time. So we had some other groups also building community and sharing ideas and thoughts and best practices. But we also had the advantage of our executive leaders coming to us to ask what our needs were as working parents. Mm-hmm. So around late 2021, when the conversation about return to office started happening, the care was still kind of touch and go. So schools were opening back up, but then there would be an outbreak and the school would shut back down and then kids would be back home the next week. Yeah. So executive leadership came to us and asked, we'd love for you to return to the office 2-3 days a week if possible. What would you need in order to make that happen? And one of the things was advance notice. We need at least a month to be able to find steady care. But then it was just access to any sort of care. There were some parents that were hesitant to send a child to a commercial daycare center because of the potential exposure to COVID at that time, and it was still high risk at that time. Other parents just did not have a nearby network, and they wanted some resources to be able to find something that would be available with a quick turnaround time in case a school did shut down and all of a sudden they were left high and dry. So our executive leadership listened to us and took that advice. And so when we proposed this child care benefit and we presented that business case, they already had a baseline of what was needed. And having that baseline and having them open up the conversation made the business case much easier and the much easier transition into launching a program.
But it seems like their mindset is, hey, we've got a situation here where we've really got to do something for the employees. There's a very specific challenge here. And there's obvious benefits in making sure that the employees are able to engage in the company when they have this issue. To me, that is like the top of a large mountain of leadership saying, hey, how do we focus on our employees and help our employees, help them be happier here, more productive at home while they're here? How do we help focus on their needs? And when you said that there were other ERGs that are going on with employee resource groups in a number of different topical areas, did you ever do any kind of a survey or anything that you just got feedback on, wow, I work at a company that has established ERG groups, not just isolated ones or here, we're going to help this person there, they have an issue here, but we're actually establishing processes and systems and getting partnerships together. Is that unique? Is that something that's really meaningful on a larger scale to the employees?
Well, I think the growth of the DEI movement in 2020 was a big initiator to ERGs at companies all over the country and all over the world. As far as like polling or baseline, we do have an annual engagement survey that includes a DEIB category and questions around a sense of belonging and being your authentic self. So that is the baseline data that we receive every year. However, our DEI and ERG movement was born out of need to have more inclusion in the workplace at a broader scale. And we wanted to make sure that underrepresented groups were being represented and had a seat at the table. And that came outside of any polling that we did. We just identified it as an intrinsic need that people have and that our employees were asking for. So out of that came various ERGs, including working parents.
So this is now a part of your company culture, these ERGs. If I were just to say, if you could encapsulate with a recommendation for the folks that are listening here today that don't necessarily have ERGs that are going on in their company, so it's not a formal process of helping, engaging, it's one-on-one, formalizing it and bringing in partnerships, what does that do? Like, how important, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you said, I'm going to take ERGs away from your company, how would that make you feel?
Oh my goodness. It would be a huge detriment to the organization. Not only is it a culture builder and gives folks a sense of belonging and improved morale, but it's also an incubator for future leaders. Employees that work perhaps in more independent contributor roles have an opportunity to take on leadership responsibilities and learn skills that they wouldn't necessarily learn in their regular job description. We have some early career folks that are learning how to draft budgets, how to build a business case for an initiative to present to executive leadership and the board, how to run an event. And these are some things that they wouldn't necessarily be doing in their regular job. So you're also creating your own pipeline of future leaders in the organization through employee resource groups.
Oh, I love that. Now, it all sounds wonderful, but it also takes a lot of work to put ERG together for working parents and bring resources together. You had to partner. You had to do a fair amount of work. And that's above and beyond the typical probably definition of the role that you had, that you're like judged on at the end of the year, right? And how was Carmen doing in her position? Well, you took on something that was over and above that. So these partnerships, why was that worthwhile? You weren't required to do that. Why was this worthwhile?
Well, the short answer is that we care a lot. Yes. We care about the employee experience. And we care about our own experiences in the workplace. So for those of us who were founders of ERGs, it really came from the heart. And what do we want to see that we want others to benefit from as well? It is an additional responsibility that's not part of our regular day-to-day job. And we take that on willingly because we want to be catalysts for change.
How many ERGs do you have in the company?
Seven. We have seven ERGs. Yeah.
Wow. In your experience, and you hire people from other companies all the time, is that unique? Like ERGs in and of itself, and then that many ERGs? How unique is that?
You know what? Off the top of my head, I really don't know, if I'm being honest. I want to say it's becoming more common, though. There are some organizations that got up to a quick start in building and then scaled back a bit. But we are one of the organizations that are continuing to build and continuing that momentum that we started in 2020. So I want to say it is becoming more common and not less.
I think it's just very unique, and how much you're doing, how passionate you're putting efforts into it. Tell us a little bit about the importance of working with outside partners to really put the foundation and the meat behind the ERG itself.
Yeah. Each employee resource group has a budget that they can use every year to put on programs or partner with outside organizations. So we partner with a couple different organizations to put on parent workshops and an educational series. We also partnered with another one to launch our childcare benefit and stipend. And they really do most of the heavy lifting for us. They have an established childcare network. They process the stipends. The Working Parents ERG contributed part of their budget to launch the program. But from then on, it's become part of our general benefits budget. So working with these providers really keeps the momentum going. It takes the heavy lifting off of our shoulders. And they provide really robust reporting and metrics for us to make sure that our programs are actually effective.
So in other words, you don't have to take on the burden of creating an entire program with all kinds of resources that are available and implementation and execution. You oversee and manage that to fulfill the vision that you had for the CRG.
That's right. Yeah.
What are some of the challenges with working with these partners, right? Because there does have to be a substantial program behind it. It can't just be lip service to an ERG. So what are some of the challenges of working with these partners?
It's very few, to be honest. They make our experience very easy. I will say that the initial vetting process is probably one of the bigger challenges. We have to make sure that it's aligned with our business priorities when we're putting together this business case. And as far as childcare provider partners, specifically that benefit, there are not many out there. So being able to present a few different vendors was a challenge because it's just a very shallow pool to choose from. However, once we did sign on, they were very helpful to get us up and running and help increase our exposure internally to the program. I say our challenges are not so much working with an outside vendor as they are internally setting up communication systems to make folks aware that this is a benefit they can take advantage of.
Let's talk about that. because communicating the program, I think in our previous conversation, was one of your biggest challenges, right? Tell us what you have to do to launch a program.
Well, it's not enough just to post and pray and say, here it is. We do have an intranet like many organizations do. So all of our announcements go on there, all of our company announcements. Each ERG has their own dedicated page. However, that is not enough. So when we launched, we made sure to announce it in a company all hands, explaining what the benefit was, how to take advantage of it, and how the stipend program worked. And then from there, it's a lot of repetition, reminders, and partnerships, specifically with our HR business partners, because they are the ones engaging with employees every day, acutely aware of their client group's business challenges. So if there's a particular group, for instance, that has a higher rate of absenteeism due to childcare issues, they know that they can refer this program to that employee or educate the manager of that department to share with their employees that this is available to them. Our vendor partners have also been really helpful with that. They have hosted some workshops with us as well, co-hosted, where they go on and talk about the benefits, and it helps to hear it directly from them because they have all of the knowledge and can answer all of the questions. And they are seen as a dedicated partner to the organization. It's not just coming from us.
Makes good sense. You're having to be your own internal marketers, right?
Yeah.
You've got an audience.
Yeah. And they've got all the collateral too. They give us some marketing collateral. We leverage that, but they are a really big help.
So this, I think, is one really great example of HR playing a critical support function to the overall business role and growth of the business. How do you, in your mind, tie with what you're doing overall in a strategic HR initiative? Like, how do you tie what you do with the success of the business? How do you make that connection?
One of the really big topics trending right now with employees and organizations around engagement is burnout. Parental burnout specifically. If you consider the population of employees with young children that actually need supplemental care, they're largely millennials in their 30s and early 40s. And we're the ones growing into senior management and leadership roles in the organization and starting to influence the business's vision. When you consider that this population not only has young children to care for, but also has aging parents on the other side. You may have heard the term already of the sandwich generation, where we're caring for the upbringing of our children, and we're caring for our aging parents at the same time. And on top of that, we're supposed to go to work every day and do a really good job at it. That is a perfect recipe for burnout.
Yeah.
So this benefit really is a holistic well-being benefit in mind. If we care for our employees' well-being, they are going to be able to show up every day and contribute to the best of their abilities. And the overall cost of the program is minimal compared to what it would cost to lose an employee for lack of childcare resources. So 1 year of running this program costs about one person's salary in an early to mid-career level role. So if we're able to save just one person from leaving the organization because of lack of access to childcare, the program has already paid for itself.
Oh, more so. And then, yeah, absolutely. How does this impact the culture inside the company?
Yeah, our parents are really grateful. We are one of the organizations that, for better or for worse, still use the word family when we refer to each other. And so if we truly care about being family, we have to be able to care for families that are tied to our organization. So to see that benefit being one of our priorities is certainly a boost to employee morale and our culture of taking care of the whole human and their loved ones. We've had some employees that have been able to take advantage of the program for last minute care needs so they can show up for work. We've even had a person who found a childcare provider on their own, but wanted to make sure that they were fully vetted and was able to refer that care provider to our vendor to background check them. having this benefit shows that we care about their families and the well-being and the people that we're introducing into their circle to care for the kids that they love.
You've talked a number of times about retention. You're in talent acquisition. How does this kind of a culture, ERGs, how does it impact acquiring the right talent in addition to retaining?
Well, I think more and more prospective employees want to see themselves represented in an organization and that there are people like them that work here and that have a voice in this organization. And to see employer resource groups dedicated to whatever aspect of their identity they are coming in with is really valuable. It shows that people like me are welcomed here and understood and are heard. As a candidate coming in, that's a huge plus, knowing that you're coming into an organization and actually cares about you as a person.
Have you actually heard people saying, wow, this is the kind of company I've been looking for? Has it been one of those things that has been a deciding factor for a number of prospective employees?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They want to see that we're investing in them. And it goes beyond employee resource groups. It goes into our learning and development programs as well, the skills that they can gain while they're employed with us. So we've heard quite a bit of positive feedback from prospective candidates and then actually onboarding employees about our programs and them being a deciding factor in choosing our organization.
When you talk about a direct impact on business growth and the critical role of growing in the business over time, the right people is what makes the biggest difference, right? So getting the right people and retaining the right people, what haven't we covered? Going through this whole experience and wanting to convey that over to the audience here, what haven't we covered that you think is important?
I think the stipend that we give towards childcare, the actual money that goes into pockets, is a really big factor. Our stipend gives employees $200 a quarter towards childcare costs. So if they submit 4 quarters worth of claims, that's up to $800 a year, which for some employees is an entire month of childcare. And so I think when there's actually a monetary benefit to it that alleviates the cost of their day-to-day lives, that makes a significant impact, particularly with some of the childcare benefits from the pandemic era that have since expired. Putting that money back into the pockets of employees is a really big win for them or makes a huge impact on their ability to actually channel their funds into other areas of their lives. So I'd say that's a pretty significant point of the program.
Okay, here's my next question. I think I'm going to know what your answer is going to be focused on. What are you most proud of in your career that you've been able to accomplish?
I think having a direct impact on people's lives is one of my proudest accomplishments. Folks that are in this field of HR typically go into it because we're people, and we want to make an impact. And I've worked at various organizations over the years and have been able to influence the company's direction and vision and culture and the lives of the folks in our ERG and the parents of the organization. So to see a tangible difference really fills me up.
In a lot of companies, the HR function can be seen as just a support function, not a direct contributor to the overall success of the business, right?
Yeah.
I think you've debunked that pretty well here today. I have one more question for you, all right? Because we've talked about a lot. But if there was one takeaway, like one key takeaway that you wanted people to leave that consume this podcast, what would that be?
If there is something that you really believe in, that would benefit not only your well-being as an employee, but the well-being of the folks around you, speak up, say something, and don't be afraid to advocate for your needs and the needs of your team. Because if you need that, it's likely that somebody else is needing that too.
I love it. I know there are going to be people that have questions. Would it be appropriate that we actually give out maybe a link to your LinkedIn profile so people could reach out and ask you questions?
Please do. I'd welcome that.
Well, thank you, Carmen, for coming on and really giving us a whole new way to look at as HR professionals, ways that we can feel our own passions, really feel good about how we're contributing to the company, engaging with employees, giving employees a voice and a role in the company that they haven't had before, changing the culture, like so much you've articulated today on how you can actually make that impact, not only personally, but on the entire company. I just want to say thank you for coming on and sharing all your insights today.
It's my pleasure, Steve. Thanks so much for having me.